The war in Gaza continues. An opportunity is lost. It's not about the eclipse, but about the weakest link. Today is Orthodox Easter. It's also Cinco de Mayo. And this is episode number 791 of The Next Step.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Welcome to another episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. Here, Father Vazquez provides a distinct and consistent voice for one of the most ancient of all Christian traditions, Armenian Orthodoxy, and applies it to our life today. Armadoxy! It's a way of life. And no, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope is expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Well, Christos Anesti. Yes, it is Orthodox Easter today. It's also Cinco de Mayo, which happens to be the 5th of May. Yeah, we're at the farthest extent. I think it's 5 weeks between the Western Easter and Orthodox Easter, and this is like the year that it is the complete five away. So, yeah, today I just saw pictures coming in from Jerusalem, people fighting over getting the light of Christ to take it home from the sepulchre, and people just like, oh, this is so beautiful. And meanwhile, there's people like dying in Gaza, and dying in what way? You know, by a caused famine. It's no longer retaliation, but now it's like, let's just wipe out, let's eliminate a group of people, ethnic cleansing, it's all taking place. And you know what? It sounds so familiar to us as Armenians, to us as Armenian Christians. Oh yeah, ethnic cleansing happened in 1915. It happened throughout the years. Oh, definitely in the last few years. Happened in Artsakh. We heard about it. We actually complained. Why isn't anybody talking about it? We said, like, where is the world? Where is the world? Who cares about what's going on in Armenia? And you know what? Last September, they released everybody out of Artsakh. Yeah, they threw them out from their ancestral homeland. And, you know, the world didn't care about it. And we Armenians were very hurt about it, that, you know, why isn't the world paying attention to us? And today, there's ethnic cleansing taking place in Gaza, and are Armenians paying attention to that? I brought this up last week when I shared with you what happened at UCLA. I spoke at an April 24th event sponsored by both UCLA and USC Armenian students. And I was the only one who brought up Gaza, and everybody went back to the old usual, well, we are the victims. We are the victims. And somehow, you know, what happened to us? It's like, this is it, you know? And so here we are today. And I want to just share with you a couple ideas because I've got to unload because I just came back from a diocesan convention where we had another opportunity to share and make a mention about what's going on in the world. And at least, you know, let's be realistic. Writing letters, sharing these stories or complaining or protesting, even what you're seeing right now in the United States, the protests, some of them violent, some of them nonviolent. Protests on campuses. You know, at the end of the day, nobody really cares about what you're doing. It was, as I've always said, remember 1991 when the, the Iraqi war, right? In England, there was 1 million people that went to the streets in protest. 1 million people. And even that wasn't critical mass. That wasn't large enough to sway the government from, you know, not joining the fight. You know, you can protest all you want, but at the end of the day, you've got to be a realist and know that, you know, is that really going to stop the war? Well, no, it's not, but at least at the very, very least, it gets you to start thinking that you are responsible for this world. We are responsible for this world. We have an obligation. It's not somebody else. It's not happening. It's not because, you know, this is one of my biggest frustrations with Christianity today. And what upsets me when I talk about mature Christianity, we have this childish idea that God is sitting up in the clouds and he's deciding, okay, you know what? There's going to be ethnic cleansing now. It's in Armenia last September. Today it's going to be in Gaza. And, you know, you can protest all you want, but I'm so deeming it to be ethnic cleansing. And, you know, we deal with this kind of idea, this childish idea that somehow God's up in the cloud playing chess. You know, and he's playing chess and to see who's going to win at the end. He knows he's going to win at the end, but let's draw it out a little bit. These are ridiculous notions that pop their heads up in religion and like make you believe in these kind of things that are beyond your control. What's going on right now in Gaza is human made. And therefore humans have the potential, the opportunity to stop it. And so if we do complain, if we do protest, at the very least, it gets us to start thinking that, hey, wait a minute, we are responsible for what's going on in the world. And here we are, we have a chance to do it, and we're silent. We're silent. Actually, I just came back from a diocesan assembly. I know that many of the different Armenian churches have been gathering and different congregations. But you're not hearing it. You're not hearing a complaint being lodged. And all I have to say is that the next time you hear Armenians complaining that nobody cares about them, nobody is paying attention, you've got to ask the question, and where were you when Gaza was happening? Where were you? You see, this is the whole thing. And everyone's like scared to make a comment because it might mean that you might be politically ostracized. You might be outed. You might be out of the field. And that's a risk you take. That's the risk that Jesus took. It's the risk that Martin Luther King took. And he was outed. He was outside the mainstream. But it's those people outside of the mainstream, those outliers, that make the differences. You know, last week I shared with you, I came on Next Step, and I really wanted to do a next step about my experiences at the eclipse, because I shared with you leading up to the eclipse, and I produced one. I think it was April 6th that we came out with the next step. And then it was on my way going to Texas. I went to Uvalde, and on April 8th, I saw the eclipse. And I did share a lot of it in my writings and on my daily podcast, but I didn't get to do a next step about it. And today it occurred to me that, you know, it got eclipsed. The eclipse got eclipsed. So the eclipse, let me go to it, and you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. We got to Uvalde, Texas, and we were kind of disappointed because it was a cloudy day. It was clouds in the sky. We had rented a couple cabins and there with the big family, and we're ready to watch this eclipse. And a little bit let down because you see the clouds in the sky. The night before was a little bit opening. It was opening up. It gave us a little bit of hope. But the day of the eclipse, April 8th, it was cloudy. And so, you know, we're getting ready, and on the good side of it, it meant not everyone was coming to Uvalde. Unlike our trip to Portland, Oregon, a few years ago, I think it was 2017, for the eclipse up there. And there it was just jam-packed, clear sky. It was a beautiful, beautiful opportunity to see what the eclipse was. But here we are in Uvalde, and there's all these clouds. And as the eclipse is getting closer and closer, we're putting on our glasses because the clouds are opening up. We're seeing small little glimmers. We're seeing the sun being eclipsed by the moon. In fact, the clouds added to the mystique of it. Not only that, it added to the mystique, but also gave us a natural filter to view the sun. And so the moon came in front of it. It started eclipsing it. We went back and forth with the glasses because at certain points you were able to take off the glasses and very, very dark filtered glasses. Actually, I have a couple pairs of welder's glasses, which I had brought with me to the 2017 eclipse and brought them back this time because they're just perfect. They're just dark enough to see this. And it's phenomenal when you see the eclipse because you're seeing the moon slowly come in front of the sun. And as I shared with you back then, it's just really one of the most beautiful things because, you know, it signifies what's going on in nature that we do not have control over. Interesting, right? There are things that we have control over and then things that you have to relinquish because you have absolutely no control over it. They are in God's domain. And this is where I think the crossover is. I think sometimes we get into these things that wars are so big, ethnic cleansing is so big that we really do not have control over it. And so therefore we turn it over to God. We say that we relinquish it. We realize it's in God's hands. When really it's a cop-out. Now, something as big as this eclipse, okay, you're looking up. Let me explain what happened. The clouds are opening up, and at that moment, the moon comes right in front of the sun, and we're looking straight up, and you can take your glasses off at this time, because the sun is now completely blocked, and we're seeing this, and then all of a sudden, at that moment, you're seeing the solar flares pop out from outside of that the moon's shadow. Now this is what's so beautiful about it. You're seeing a phenomena because of the place of the moon, the distance of the moon from the earth, and the distance of the moon from the sun. It just perfectly covers the sun. Now, if you were on Mars, I think there's two moons on Mars, right? And you looked at the eclipse, the moons, yes, they go in front of the sun, but they go, you know, partially. They cannot, because of the distance from the planet and the distance from the sun, they do not cover the entire sun. In our case, our moon covers it. And this is what's phenomenal about it, is that it covers it completely. So the sun is completely dark. And you see the sun's flares coming out from the side of the moon. And I'm standing there with my family. We're watching this phenomenon, our heads straight up, in awe of how this is just playing out in front of us. And I thought to myself, you know, this is so beautiful. I want to sing Aravod Luso. It is the praise of the sun rising. It is a hymn of the Armenian Church. Nerses Shnoradi wrote it. Aravod Luso Arekagnartar Aris Luisakya. And I choked. I couldn't do it. I couldn't get the words out. I likened it to that moment when you see your child being born, you know? There's that moment that parents experience in the birthing room, when your first time you see your child, new life come, and you just break down. You can't find the words. You can't control yourself. You just break down, and you don't know what it is. You don't know what it is except being overwhelmed with emotion, and that's what this was like. You look up at the sun, and you see the flares coming out from the side of it. And you're just overwhelmed because you realize how perfect this is, how perfect this universe is. Here we are, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. The perfection of the universe is calculated by people so that they knew exactly that in Uvalde at that moment, not 2 minutes, not 3 minutes earlier, 2 minutes later, but exactly at that moment, the sun would be eclipsed by the moon. And it's just, it's so beautiful. You know, I mean, we have cars, trains, automobiles. They're all off on schedules, right? Those are human made, right? But this is God. God in its the wonder of God, how everything comes together right at that moment. It's so beautiful about Uvalde, which I didn't think about. Actually, someone shared that. One of the ladies in our Bible study shared that with me just last week. And that in Uvalde, they had the annular eclipse, which was last October. Not annual, but annular. It's a different kind of eclipse phenomena. And because the path of that eclipse and the path of this eclipse crossed in Uvalde, when you look at it on a global scale, it is actually a cross. It is the cross that you see there, pointing, of course, to our faith, pointing, of course, to Jesus Christ. And it's so beautiful because the timing of it, everything about it, is just beyond you. And so you're left in awe, you're left in wonder. And then life continues. The moon with its motion, the sun with its motion, well, actually us with our motion, and all of a sudden the sun begins to reappear. And the other phenomena about this is you don't realize how powerful that sun is. Just the last sliver before it became completely dark. That last sliver was enough to light up your whole world. And then it just goes. And you're left in darkness. And you're seeing this phenomena firsthand. Now, like I said, you know, this is beyond you. It's beyond what you control. And that leaves you in awe. And I think sometimes when we are overwhelmed by the scope and magnitude of certain events in our life, we realize that they are beyond ourselves. One being war, one being ethnic cleansing, one being genocide. That really, what can we do? And I think this is the frustration that we are all faced with at this point. Frustration to the point that, what is it that we can do? Even if we want to write a small statement about it. Let's take a break right now, okay? To share with you this moon story. I'll be back in a few moments and we'll continue where we are eclipsing, and I'll share with you the story of the weakest link. You won't want to miss this. Here's my pick for today. Enjoy. Actually, you know what? Hold it. Before we play the song, let me give you a background to it. Because, hey, you know what? I was going to play it and then have you, and then give you the afterwards. Now, you need to listen to this with attentive ears. This is called 49 Bye-Byes, America's Children. This is off of a live album which was recorded in 1971. It is a song by Stephen Stills, of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. It is off of their Four Way Street album, Live. But it's a song, yeah, about relationships ending. It is also about the broader, bigger relationships that we have to bring about social change, to bring about the revolution. And listen attentively to the words, because it is a time when there was turmoil in the world. There was turmoil here in the United States, specifically about a war that should not be fought. And today, the parallels are so similar, but no one's drawing those parallels because we have an opportunity to stand up against the war and we're staying quiet about it. 49 Bye-Byes. To men.
it's over, the left in the spring. Her and the drifter looking far beautiful thing. Singing song and a carrying size. Come on, mostly say hooray for our side. And we've got to stop and children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. All right, what's going down? Oh yes, well it looks to me like there's a few politicians hanging around children, perpetrating some kind of myth on us all. All right, talking about where to drag all the kids are, yeah. Oh, cause they got the guts to get out in the street and tell the truth every day. Oh, yes. All right, making it a little hot for them, you know. All right. Oh, but you know that we're all just out there proving to Richard Nixon and to Spiral Agnew and Richard Daley and all them other, well, whatever you want to call them, that America is still the home of the brave. Oh, yes it is, and you got to be brave, children. How many is it that they shot down already? Something like 17 of us. Oh, but you know, we got to do it. We got to keep on keeping on. Oh, because if we don't do it, nobody else is gonna. But you know, if we can't do it with a smile on our face, you know, if we can't do it with love in our hearts, then children, we ain't got no right to do it at all, yeah. Because that just means we ain't learned nothing yet. Oh, and we're supposed to be some kind of different. Oh, 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 yes. And I don't know whether I want white America to remember or forget that Jesus Christ was the first nonviolent revolutionary. Dig it. Dig it, all right on, and dig it, oh yes. You know that paranoia, it strikes deep into your life, it's going to creep, and it starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line and they're coming, gonna shoot you down. We got to stop, and now what's that sound? Yeah, we got to stop, now what's that sound? Yes, we got to stop. That's sad. Look what's going down. Oh, yeah. Right
now. Oh, that is something else. That is a really wild song, one that I was brought up on and very influential in my life. Over 50 years ago. It came out, and it was during a time when there was a lot of turmoil here in the United States. And, you know, over the last couple of weeks, we've been seeing that on college campuses. Actually, I shared with you last week what happened at UCLA, where I spoke on April 24th. It was April 25th or 26th, just a day or two after that, already there was protesters coming onto the campus, as they did at USC. It was interesting, the night of the 24th that I spoke at UCLA, we were there because USC had been under lockdown because of the protests. Anyway, a lot of stuff has been going on throughout the country, and it's really an invitation to us. It's an invitation to us to wake up and see that we need to add our voice. Now you say, well, wait a minute, what are we protesting? We're the church. We're supposed to be lighting candles and praying. Okay, stay tuned. We are back to the second half of The Next Step, and we're going to be talking a little bit about, okay, well, so you protest. What is that point of protest? Is anything going to change? Does anything change? What are the things? And we always pray, you know, let me be, what was that Reinhold Niebuhr prayer? You know, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change those things, and the wisdom to know the difference. So there is a wisdom factor to know the difference, what we can change, what we cannot change. And so I put down a statement, if for nothing else, at least to clarify it in my mind. What is it that we're talking about? What am I protesting, especially after my life has been led by this principle of Jesus Christ coming in and saying, here is a life that is yours, and celebrate that life, especially after preaching the message of resistance against evil, being swayed by people like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., by Gandhi, by seeing Christ himself telling us, do not resist evil, and then we're seeing this evil, by knowing that when the Israelis are attacking the Palestinians, it's not to end Hamas by saying a tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye. An eye for an eye is a maximum. Tooth for a tooth is a maximum. If you take out my tooth, I have a right to take out one of your teeth. That's it. It's not like I can take out all of your teeth. Or if I take out one of your eyes, you can take out one of my eyes. You can't take both of them. You can't leave me blind. But that's what they're doing under the guise of retaliation. We're retaliating and we're wiping out an entire population. This is called genocide. And we have to be strong enough, courageous enough, to call it for what it is. It is ethnic cleansing. And so, for no other reason but to be on record, to make a statement. Here is a statement. Tell me what you think. As a faithful member of the Armenian Church, believing in the principles of the Armenian Church, I voice my protest against the acts taking place in the war in Gaza. Yes, it was instigated by an attack on October 7th, 2023, against Israel. But as children of the first genocide of the 20th century, and having experienced the silence of the world during ethnic cleansing in Artsakh, both in 2020 and 2023, I cannot stand idly as Palestinians are being killed indiscriminately in Gaza. The magnitude of the carnage is reprehensible. We have to demand and call upon our President Joseph Biden to stop funding the programs of genocide and ask for an immediate cessation, a ceasefire, and a mediation for peace. And I'm compelled to make this statement on humanitarian grounds, not political, humanitarian grounds, and our firm Christian convictions. That's it. That's it. It's not because of any anti-Israel, anti-Semitism. It's because there's a humanitarian call. There's people dying. And because of my personal history. Covered with my conviction to Jesus Christ and his call for peace. Now, I realize you write a letter. Where does it go? In fact, 1991, we were involved in the first Artsakh movement. And we went to a conference, and this is documented in Window, View of the Armenian Church. one of the priests, a bishop of the Armenian Church, I believe he was from France. He says, if you want to do nothing, write a letter. Yeah, that's true. But for your own sake and for the sake of your people, and as a priest, I have this responsibility to create a dialogue so that people start thinking on their own. Not thinking because they think God is sitting up in a cloud and saying, okay, today's a day for ethnic cleansing, tomorrow isn't. This is written on their forehead, Jagadakir. This is the fate of these people. This is what will happen to them. No. No, this is not the eclipse. This is not something that's been set in motion. We have interfered with it. You see, the eclipse was perfect. We have interfered with our transportation system, so nothing else is on target. Your trains, your planes, your automobiles, they all go off of schedule because they have human interference in them. Same way, there is no peace, not because God ordains it this way, but because we have interfered with his commandment to love, to care, to have compassion for one another. And so the call is ours. And what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? And now here's the bigger thing. If we aren't doing anything about it, what good is all of this other stuff that we're doing? Lighting candles, smoking incense, standing up on May 5th and saying, this is Orthodox Easter. Yeah, we have a different Easter. Jesus Christ is different today than he was on March 31st of this year, when he resurrected for the Western Christians. These are all bogus differences that we put together. Instead of celebrating the real celebration of life, of looking up at the wonders and the awe that we see in the universe, that we experienced at that eclipse, and realizing that that eclipse experience is something we should be experiencing every single day in our relationships with one another. The love and the compassion we have with one another, that we should have with one another, that seeing the presence of God in each other's eyes, in each other's lives, is what we're called to do. And then the reality hits us. Yeah, there is evil in the world. There are these people, there are these monsters who create wars, who indiscriminately shell and bomb people. And what do you do about them? How do you control them? How do you stop them? Well, it's not by building more weapons. It's not by building more bombs. It's not by throwing more bombs on other people. You want to put out a fire, you don't add more fire to it. You quench it with water. You take a hose and you put it out. And there are opportunities for us to engage in dialogues for peace, but we're not taking them when we escalate wars. When we make them bigger than they are. It's not an eye for an eye. It's now here's a set of teeth for a tooth. Here's a bunch of eyeballs for an eye. No. And that's why Jesus says, do not resist evil. That's why his commandment is so different. And it was one that cost him his life. But it's something that we need to be convinced of, convicted to. You cannot sit there and light candles and worship something if you're not willing to accept his teachings. Today, I heard one of the priests talk about Jesus and the invitation. I think he gave his sermon about the great banquet and how everybody gave an excuse. And, you know, I guess the metaphor is that people give excuses not to come to church. Well, we're doing the same thing. We're giving excuses not to answer the call that Jesus calls us to. That's the bottom line. The excuse is not about an excuse not to go to church. That's comfortable. It's the excuse to say no to the commands that Jesus asks us to be faithful to, namely to build peace, to seek justice, to engage in those dialogues, to have compassion, to have mercy, and to put the whims of the heart above those of the law, so that we are engaging with one another with compassion, with feeling, with emotions, and ultimately with love.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that announcement. I want to end today by sharing with you some experiences that we've had. I know today's was a little heavy. It's a little bit different next step. I wanted to share some concepts and struggles that I struggle with. But I just returned from the Diocesan Assembly where we had an opportunity to share epostle.net. And most exciting about it was to share the Metaverse experience. On April 24th, we opened the Metaverse. We were there online and we had over 600 people that experienced the Metaverse, the Armenian Church in the Metaverse. And it is available. It's right there on epostle.net. The first time ever that the Metaverse was opened right from a website. Yeah, this is not just, and this is actually the only documented, the first time that right from the website, you were able to get into a public space. And we made that as an exhibition for the Armenian Christian faith. So please do experience that. But here's the interesting thing I shared with you earlier. I teased you with a weakest link story. You know, we forget. We sometimes take things for granted. And the chain is as strong as its weakest link. Think about that for a moment, right? Chains are linked together by many links, but the weakest link, that determines the strength of the chain. So I went to Arizona to present at the Diocesan Convention this presentation about the Metaverse, and we had our people set up so that we were going to be communicating, you know, from different centers. If you've seen our Metaverse exhibit, you know what I'm talking about. It's really beautiful. It's extravagant. It takes place within our website. So there I was in front of the audience, and we put on the projector, and up goes our website up there, and then that's it. It didn't move. The weakest link was, of course, not us. It was the Wi-Fi. There was no Wi-Fi connection that could sustain this message. We found out all too late. It was our fault. We didn't measure it. We didn't take extra precautions by bringing our own Wi-Fi with us. Anyway, the long story, I had to tether onto my phone, and thank you, T-Mobile, for providing a strong enough link, a 5G link. So we were able to do some of the presentation. Not as good as we wanted it to, but we were able to do it. But that is the weakest link. And that's stuff that we learn. And it's stuff we learn together. And I want to thank you all for all of your support, your donations, your prayers, your comments. They go a long way in continuing this ministry. It's an exciting ministry right now. We are at the cutting edge of technology. We're at cutting edge of doing things that I think no one else is doing right now. And that takes a little bit of courage. It takes a little bit of strength. And it takes a lot of fortitude. Thank you all for being there with me on this one. Listen, we're going to call it a day for right now. I hope you enjoyed today's show. More than just enjoyed, but take to heart some of the things that we talked about, and will let me know what you think. You can always drop me a line at feedback@epostle.net, and I encourage you to listen to our daily shows. They are daily podcasts called Orthodoxy Today about issues and events that are taking place in our lives and a Christian response. Don't forget to check out the show notes for today. You'll find links to all kinds of stuff that we talked about and want to share with you. So, on behalf of my wonderful producer, Susie, and myself, this is Father Vasca, and looking forward to seeing you at epostle.net every day, and especially next week when we take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe.
Forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are. Bye.